RTI.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Poprad, boys and girls, with me, Eric Wiltshire, in Poprad in Slovakia, in Central Europe, Lee Banks in the UK, Mark Gander in Gay Paris, not so gay sometimes, and we'll start, kick things off by carrying on slightly from where we were before. We mentioned goods for Christmas and various other things, and we just want to cover a little bit, because we know right now money is tight. We all understand that. So please beware, 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 beware. Don't be tempted to buy fake goods at Christmas, because often they're junk. Often things like perfumes, which have got really dodgy contents inside, can in some cases actually burn you. I've seen it. Electronic toys can die in minutes. So you get the toy out of the thing, and it's dead. And there's nothing you can do about it. When you go back, the problem is the guy's gone. Your consumer rights are down the toilet because they've done a runner.
So is what you bought.
Absolutely.
Yes. Literally.
Literally. And I'm sure at Christmas you have loads on your site about this, Mark, with people having problems every flipping year. And
Absolutely.
And I'll add to this. If you're going to buy and save yourself some money, and you can do this, if you go to your local market, we've got a fabulous market here called Nowy Targ, which is in Poland. You can buy some legitimate goods at incredibly good prices. The difference between those guys and the one with a vegetable box standing outside a tube station is they've got a license. They're actually regulated by somebody there, and they're there every week. So if it doesn't work, you can take it back. When matey outside the tube station has gone home, where is he? He's gone.
Oh, that's right. It's not a new thing, that, is it? That's something that has gone on in Britain since before, forever. And it'll go on all over the world.
But we forget at Christmas. We forget. Because we're a bit hard up.
Well, that actually is a wider issue, isn't it? The fact that all over the world, but particularly in Britain, we are broke and we can't afford Christmas anymore over here.
Haggle.
Well, you can haggle all you want, but if you haven't got the money to pay them by the time you finished haggling, it's a bit awkward, isn't it? If you think what the price of everything over here now is phenomenal. You know, kids are starting out with loads of debt, then they can't get a mortgage. We are a country which is changing the whole of the face of it. And it's not just buying cheap goods off people standing outside a pub or on the internet getting ripped off. Mm. Although I agree with you, you should be careful. But it's something that's said every Christmas,
actually,
isn't it?
And Mark, you've got a good bit of input on this, because I haven't been to the UK for such a long time, I can't remember how to speak English. You were there a couple of weeks ago. What was the difference in the price scale between England and France?
Well, I tend to find actually England is cheaper. I mean, all sorts of French people tell me, England's very, very expensive. But I generally find that's because they haven't been to England. If you're a tourist, I think England is probably more expensive. But if you live there, then I think you can get by very, very much more cheaply. But I have to say that I think what you're saying is absolutely right. You know, I think that this coming year is going to be a tough year for consumers. But if you're trying to have a decent Christmas, that's great. But, you know, as I said a couple of weeks ago, don't start getting payday loans, because you're going to ruin your 2011.
Correct.
But if you are going to buy things, then I'm afraid probably be prepared to spend a little bit extra. Don't get the cheapest, because if you get the cheapest, you might get the worst. Mm-hmm. And in the long term, that's very much more expensive.
Often a case of buying one present rather than two is a good idea.
Well, yes, I think that's probably right.
One present for everybody, that's fine, yeah.
Okay. We're going to start cracking on. Go on, quickly.
Mark's just made this, what to me is quite an inflammatory statement, that it's cheaper to live in Britain than it is in France. I'm not,
I find the supermarkets, are cheaper. The cost of buying property is cheaper, certainly in the towns. I find that it's easier to shop, say, and I mean, I do shop for second-hand goods, and I do buy things on eBay. And I think that they're more available, easier to get, better quality, than what you get in France.
Well, actually, electronics.
I'll give you a consumer debrief for a loaf of bread here.
Yeah. A loaf of bread here might cost, say, £1, £1.50.
So that's about the same. And a pint of beer, roughly the same as Britain?
A pint of beer here, well, if you want a pint of Guinness, then you're probably looking at £6 or £7 a pint.
Ouch!
On the other hand, Guinness is an exotic speciality.
I'd be gutted.
Also, as far as house prices are concerned, why are people over here still looking at cheap houses in France?
I don't know.
Because
fuel's cheaper.
Everything's cheaper.
Apart from a pint of Guinness.
I don't think houses are cheaper in France at all. And I mean, I know, I know somebody who's bought a flat in quite a nice place in Paris, but I can tell you that she paid twice the amount that she would have paid in a similarly nice place in London.
Okay, well, guys, we're going to have to move on. We've got so much to get through this particular part of the programme. We're probably going to have to do a parliamentary censorship quick question, something or other, to get through all the stuff we've got to go. Students in the UK have been totally revolting this week, and the weird story that's come out of all this, and I'm not saying they're right or wrong to complain about money they get from government for studying, but when a couple of them have decided that they think it's a good idea to take the police to court, because whilst they were demonstrating, the police didn't give them water and there was no toilets available. Now, whose fault is that?
Yes, well, it's a really difficult one, isn't it? I have to say that, you know, there is a legitimate right to protest in England, and it's very important. And it marks us out as one of a number of countries in the world which have these, you know, democratic rights. And it seems to me that, you know, if it's a sort of, a discreet way of clamping down on that right by kettling people, by depriving them of water and so forth, mm-hmm. I think that's a real inroad into people's right to protest. I think at least they should be treated in a civilised way if they're behaving reasonably and non-violently.
Right, Lee?
I agree. Paris is one of the worst places for riots in Europe, isn't it? But he's quite right. People have a democratic right to riot, and also people have a democratic right to drink water and take a leak.
Okay, boys and girls, what do you think at home? Is it down to the students to take bottled water with them when they're going on demos and make sure they go to the bathroom before they go? Or should the police provide these things if they are kettling them to stop them causing all sorts of trouble? You tell
again,
us.
Again, Eric.
What?
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you then, but I did mean to interrupt you now. But you have to think about the reality of the situation. I don't know, we just seem so middle class boys, and everything's right and everything's wrong and it's all right for these reasons, one for that reason.
These students are rioting
is because each of them faces a debt of £40,000.
And I'll tell you this is going to cause absolute confusion. The trouble is, too many of them are going on stupid university courses that do absolutely nothing for further education, and they get an ology. They get an ology, which means absolutely nothing and is a waste of money.
Very clever to be able to go on the dole.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's it. And the main thing is this £40,000 debt. People can't buy houses because of the student debt.
There you go. We want to hear from you, boys and girls. What do you think? Whose fault is it? Are the students right, wrong? Should the police give them stuff? What should be the case? You tell us. WikiLeaks are preparing to publish secret documents, which... Is it the right of the citizen to know all this stuff that's being sent from the US, possibly, to their different consulates around the world? Or is it just an act of irresponsibility on the case of WikiLeaks, the website?
I find this very, very difficult to deal with. I really can't make up my mind. I mean, clearly, you know, there's a public interest in having knowledge, but if this prejudices, for instance, the lives of people who are in the war zone, then it's a very, very difficult choice, isn't it? Mm. I don't know what to say.
Lee?
Bit middle class, I'm afraid. The simple fact is that there are problems out in these war zones. We and the Americans and everybody else who is there are doing things that are wrong. We're being exposed all the time for the wrongdoings that we're actually committing. And something like WikiLeaks are actually they're actually doing something, whether how they're actually doing it is like the infancy of the internet, and the also I don't really know what the background to these blokes are. I know there's some journalists there and some lawyers, mm-hmm. but they are actually exposing things that are making these wars worse and more and longer lasting, mm-hmm. and that can't be a bad thing. That is what journalism's about. You can't have a closed world. You can't have a blinkered world and that's controlled by people other than the people who are out on the streets. We're learning the truth through these.
Right, we'll be interested in hearing your views on that as well, boys and girls. Talking of controlling the world, it would appear that Apple are now rejecting radio apps. And by radio apps, I mean the little buttons that you can get for nothing when you have an iPhone or an iPad. And this was sent by Jim Barkas, who has a vested interest because he creates iPhone applications for radio stations. And he wrote to the radio magazine complaining about it. And it's quite interesting because if this is true, he's apparently sent several emails to Steve Jobs, the CEO of Apple, and Steve Jobs' response was, sorry, we've made our decision, which means that unless a radio station teams up with 10 other radio stations or thereabouts, they can't have an app on the iPhone, which to me is the... It's just unbelievable, and I love this bit because Jim Barker said, what everybody needs to do is send an email to Steve Jobs at Apple, sjobs@apple.com, or if you're in the US, you can call the head office of Apple and complain about it. But surely this is another case of a giant around the world telling people what they can and can't do. That's censorship.
Well, what's an FART?
What's a what?
What's it?
An FART app.
You are allowed to pronounce it on air. It's not that rude.
It's not. No, it's not.
What it is? What it is? It suddenly hit me between the eyes. A fart. What's a fart app?
Okay, let's. Right, we are now, boys, all competitors. So there's Lee FM, Mark FM, and Eric FM.
We're all farting.
We're all farting, and we compete vehemently in our local markets, and we are competitors. And what Steve Jobs is saying, well, you three guys plus seven more have got to get together and create one app that goes onto the iPhone or iPad or something like that. And if you want to just have one for yourself, sorry, boys, you can't have it.
Yeah, well, that's rich coming from Apple, isn't it?
That would
like to control everything, and you know. So, I mean, you know, we've got Apple setting themselves up here as the competition commission and saying we're going to be the sole arbiters. We'd like to really have the biggest Apple iPhone or telephone company in the world. Mm. But underneath us, we want everybody to compete. Hmm, very interesting.
Yes, indeed. We'll move on to the next study, which has driven me barking mad. Sorry, pun intended. Wi-Fi makes trees sick, according to a survey. Radiation from Wi-Fi networks is harmful to trees. Oh, my God. According to some research that comes from the Netherlands. Have you heard this, guys?
We breathe through our trees, Eric.
Right. Apparently, all deciduous trees in the Western world are affected, according to a study by this university, I won't even mention, in the Netherlands.
Can you're I getting just... bleeding and fissures in the bark, and you're just making fun of them.
Can I just... listen to me. In the 1930s, the biggest radio transmitters in the world all went up. They issue kilowatts of power, kilowatts of radiation. Absolutely.
How many kilowatts does it need to kill a tree?
Wi-Fi networks use minuscule amounts of power. If you think about it, your Wi-Fi can probably get 10 yards or 10 metres outside your house and you lose it. And yet, a medium wave transmitter can cover millions, well, in fact, in some cases, short wave transmitters cover millions of miles. They use up to 500 kilowatts of power to get there. And you're telling me that the trees around there have all died? Well, they haven't, because I've been to these places. So what are this lot talking about?
But the thing is, before, we didn't know whether you know, coming from a shortwave or a long wave transmitter would do any harm. We never thought anything did any harm.
But the trees are still there. The trees are there. If you go to some of the big transmitters that the BBC World Service uses, like Wooferton, for example, and I've been there, yeah, it's a proper place. There are kilowatts of radiation going out of there to get signals from the UK to Australia to India to South America to South Africa, wherever you want to go. And there are trees there. They're not dead. I promise you, they're not dead.
They're very well-informed trees, though, mind you. You can log on. In fact, you could log on to a tree.
I think this is another case of people going completely barking mad. Sorry. this one I'm going to get absolutely killed for, boys and girls. A new study is out that says, and it's the first global study by the World Health Organization. It's a study of 192 countries that found that passive smoking is killing 600,000 people worldwide. I'm looking at the ciggies over there, and I'm thinking, I think we should stop this, Eric. I think we should stop this.
I thought you were stopping. You were doing very well, actually.
Well, I've still got my electric ciggy in my pocket, and I sort of go on that every now and again. But there's a tendency to go back there, especially when the boss gets here, because we tend to just sort of... He doesn't smoke at all when he's out, and then I don't. And then when we get together, we go, "Should we have a..." And we do. What's worrying is the number of children that are being affected by smokers, and I find that quite hard, really.
Children have very little voice, don't they? And I mean, you know, we're talking about smoking in cars, smoking in people's homes where the children are around, smoking around the children. I mean, you know, I can be queuing up for an amusement thing or a museum here with my kids, and I've got people lighting up the cigarettes all around them. And if you complain to them, they get very insulted. They won't move away. You know, it's just amazing. I really think that there ought to be some very serious legislation about this kind of thing. I think it should be stopped.
And I think
what really should be stopped is smoking.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what, boys and girls, but both of you, this is a shocking part of the study, that the highest number of people exposed to secondhand smoke are in Europe and Asia, and the lowest rates of exposure are the Americas, the Eastern Mediterranean, and Africa, which is turning Europe into a third world country, for goodness sake.
Yeah, well, I think that there's a huge amount. I mean, I don't know what the figures are, but I mean, there's a huge amount of smoking in Europe. And as far as I can see, or as far as I read, you know, apparently it's going up. And I mean, I'm talking from a country here, France, where, you know, I don't know if you know, but they've still got a tobacco growing industry in the south of France. Did you know that?
No.
And until very recently, they were even receiving subsidies from the European Union to maintain it. Did you know that?
No.
You know? Yeah,
I visited a tobacco farm in South Carolina a while ago, and in America you can't smoke in restaurants, you can't smoke in hotels, you can't smoke anywhere really other than inside your own door. At least they've got the dignity not to force you out on the street to have a fag. But the money that they're making is phenomenal, and it still is because cigarettes are the most addictive thing in the world. They still are. They're more addictive than heroin, more addictive. I smoked for 25 years and I stopped about 8 years ago, 9 years ago. Uh-huh. And every so often, like most ex-smokers do, you just fancy one. You just have a little one. Mm. And I can guarantee that... sometimes.
Right, let's move on, boys and girls. Talking of...
Just go back for one moment, because there was a report published last week where they're urging the tobacco companies to stop putting addictive substances, additives to the tobacco.
Yes, that's right.
In order to hook people quickly when they start having their first pack of cigarettes. How incredible that even needs to be discussed. Yeah. It's really just amazing, really. What criminality.
Okay,
I add one on to that as well, that there have been 48 cannabis farm busts around this area where I live in the last 2 weeks.
Gosh. Facebook looks to trademark the word face. Another one of those big companies that was a nice company, now is it becoming
just
the...
Just having a lie down.
The awkward one. Facebook is claiming to have something around 600 million users now, and the social networking group is just literally a couple of steps away from trademarking the word face. as there's several online documents being leaked out.
I think they'll have a lot of trouble doing that because there's a film called Face and I think they've copyrighted it.
Well, a trademark specialist named Fiona McBride told the BBC the move was not as unexpected as it may sound. Facebook is right to lay claim to the use of the word face in the context of social networking sites. Because, I don't know if you're aware of this, boys, there's a whole bunch of sites out there using face as a prefix to another site. And that's kind of naughty. On the other side of it, does anybody remember in the 90s when some organisation tried to trademark the word God in the UK?
Yes.
And they did it.
Yeah. Well, if it was God, then it was probably all right. But I can't imagine anybody else wanting to do it.
It was a Christian television group that registered the trademark of God in the UK, which is just unbelievably catastrophic.
Well, I mean, trademarks have to be registered in their particular context. So, I mean, face wouldn't be a sort of a globally protected. But I have to say that I think it's pushing it too far. Mm. But of course, the registering the word face for this kind of activity would not prevent people who are already using this word in their activities. It wouldn't be able to prevent them.
No, it
wouldn't
be retrospective.
Prevent newcomers.
No. Now, moving along, energy firms facing gas and electricity price review. Ofgem, which Mark loves, I'm sure, and we'll send them a Christmas card, are to investigate high energy prices. The watchdog said that the net profit margin of typically £65 per consumer was a bit of a big rise. So now they're looking into it. But Mark, the question to you is, have they got any teeth?
The who's got the teeth? The
Ofgem.
Ofgem. I don't really think so. But you know, let's hope that they can embarrass these people into sort of, you know, keeping their prices down. But I think by and large, you know, prices are going up this year in respect of everything. As I've said before, I think people are in for a very, very bad time, and everybody seems to be cashing in, and the consumer just seems to be left as a complete victim.
Which reminds me.
I'm not surprised at this news.
No, I've got to say thank you to you, actually, Mark. A gentleman called Chris contacted me this week to say thank you very much for the information about the comparison websites that we did a couple of weeks ago, which was your baby. And since he's kept his one supplier for something like 30 years, he's now gone to the comparison sites that you were talking about, and he's saving himself typically about £145 a year. So, thank you, Mark.
Very pleased by that.
Yep, there you go. So Cliff Richard has topped the... oh, I don't believe this. The calendar sales. You were talking about calendars early, Lee. Apparently, the veteran singer Sir Cliff Richard is beating off the likes of JLS, Justin Bieber and Michael Bublé, on Amazon's store at the moment. The 70-year-old has stripped off to the waist. I'm sure that's...
Did you see his picture? Did you see his picture? I saw it on the... Bloody hell. I mean, really, for 70 years old.
About it, Mark.
He's what?
Hey,
Lee?
What? Hey, who? What? Say, go on, Lee.
Oh, what? I ain't saying nothing. I've just kicked my water over and I've just pulled the curtains down.
All I was going to say was that he was a very, very fit-looking man. I'm quite amazed. I should be very pleased to be looking like that when I'm 70.
I'll tell you what. he is. He's unbelievably fit-looking. I just wish
he
I hadn't...
He is fit-looking. There we are.
Cool. Not many, Benny.
He's not fit-looking, is he? He looks like a little old man.
Somebody's phone's ringing now. Marvellous. The first Apple computer, believe it or not, has gone to auction and fetched £130,000. Pounds. What?
Amazing.
Some guy in Italy has apparently bought it and he's going to restore it and make it work again, but it's not going to do very much, is it?
Why won't it do very much?
Well, it's about as powerful as a wet lettuce leaf compared with a modern computer.
I tell you what, I'd like to own it though, wouldn't you?
No.
I'd rather have 130,000, thank you.
Yeah, likewise, ditto. Apparently it works 1,000 times slower than today's Apple iPad, which means it's like walking with dinosaurs. Lee, would you ever buy anything like that?
Would I ever buy anything like what? Like an ancient computer for that sort of money?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I've just bought, honestly. I've just bought a Victorian bookcase, which is like a little computer because it's got little storage areas where you put information and things like that. And it cost me £100 and contains now 400 books. I think that's a phenomenal buy of knowledge and information and charm and all aspects of the world. I've also bought, for £50, a dog basket for the fire.
All right. I'll tell you what's sad, though, considering that stupid computer has fetched all that kind of money. Also at the same auction were papers published by the codebreaker Alan Turing during World War II. Yeah. They were trying to raise money for Bletchley Park, the trust, to rescue Bletchley Park, which is a fabulous thing, and everybody should help that out. And that didn't even get to the reserve, and yet a stupid piece of computing from Apple gets to...
iconoclastic things, though, aren't they? Well, yeah, I agree with you about the letters and everything. Oh, that was ridiculous.
Yeah. Moving along, James Bond's gun has sold for £277,250. And guess what? It's an air pistol. It's not even a real gun. Marvellous.
Good on you. I'd love that as well. I'd like the old computer would be little good to shoot.
And moving along, a German DIY enthusiast has bought himself into a cellar. 64-year-old pensioner bricked himself. How can you brick yourself up into a cellar, boys and girls?
It's easy.
How?
It's absolutely easy. It's like pasting yourself into a corner on the floor. I'll tell you what I did very quickly. I was putting new doors on the back of my house, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I did it perfectly as far as we could. Brilliant. There, afternoon, all done, working, walked outside, and I got the doorknob on the inside.
My word. Last one of this particular part of this particular show, the Beatles. We mentioned it last week because both Mark and Lee were being old and talking about this sort of stuff. And we had the announcement that the Beatles had gone on to iTunes. It's flopped.
It's flopped. Presumably. The Beatles have flopped.
Yes.
I think that's brilliant.
So, well, I think what it probably means, it shows which generation's using iTunes, and it's obviously not the Beatles generation.
So, I think it's also the classical music. The Beatles were so middle of the road, they should have been run over, each one of them.
Oh, please.
Oh, please. Yellow Submarine, Bungalow Bill, the Frog Song.
A Day in a Life is middle of the road.
Of course it is. They were the most middle of the road psychedelic. They pretended to be psychedelic. They were really good at a bit of rhythm and blues and a bit of stuff like that. And then they got pretty good at writing long and winding road ballads and things like that.
And are you telling me Hey Jude is not an anthem known globally?
He said, you know, I've got Eric, I wouldn't say for a second that they didn't put out some songs that were worth having, but I can't say that the whole over of their time as the world's greatest rock band, which they should have been done under the Trades Descriptions Act for that, they turned out good songs, but they didn't turn out... They turned out oobladee blah.
Okay, but well, that's about it, boys and girls. If you want to get in touch with Mark...
Can't we talk about cloned cattle food? Safe to eat?
Just very quickly, you got about 30 seconds.
Yeah, because that meat and milk from cloned cattle in their offspring is now safe to consume. I want to talk about it because I just wanted to say, but now we can buy one, get one free.
Very good. On the happy note, Mark Gander can be found at the Consumer Action Group. Lee Banks can be found on Facebook and Ghost Hunter TV. And me via RTI.fm. We'll see you next week, boys and girls. Bye-bye.
RTI.